Oh, amen. Well, I have something special planned for us today, and I believe that this is going to be a key message for you during this time, just foundational, that you're going to see every speaker be able to just continue to build on, because as Richard was saying, it's about preaching the gospel, and that's where truth is. And so for me, you know, with healing, it's been a journey, I would say, with healing. Because I think that so many of you, if we were to ask and if we said, before you leave, give us one revelation that you get, so many of you are going to give us different revelations, because I found that as you learn the gospel, you start to learn all these key things. And that's why I'm so excited that you are here. I'm so excited that, like what Richard was saying, what Andrew was saying this morning, you're here to put the word of God in, because that's the truth. And so what I'm going to do this morning is I'm just going to share, I'm going to give you a picture of truly what has happened to you when you got born again. Because the thing is that healing, and we've already said it multiple times today, healing is not something we're trying to get. Healing is something that we already possess. And it's easy in this crowd to be like, amen, amen. But then your heart's going, yeah, so why not? Why am I not seeing it? And so if we already possess it, if Jesus has already done it 2,000 years ago, if I've already got it, you know, these are key messages of the gospel, key messages here at Charis Bible College that Andrew preaches. So if we have those revelations, how do we come to an understanding of how does it actually work? So I'm going to invite three guests up here this morning. I'm going to invite Miss Kalisha. She's here somewhere. I'm going to invite Miss Sarah, and I'm going to invite my daughter, Eliana. All right, so... Where's my daughter? There she is. Okay, so I'm going to show you, and some of you maybe have seen this before, and it's where we talk about spirit, soul, and body. And this is an absolutely life-changing message. Hey, cutie. This is my daughter, Eliana. Okay, so I'm going to talk about here with spirit, soul, and body, because this is something super important. So these are beautiful three single ladies. Two of them are available. Third one is not, right, Dad? But all of them are loved by Mike and I, so there is an application form, credit check, and an investment portfolio you will have to give us before you have access. So when we talk about spirit, soul, and body, when we talk about the new creation reality, when we talk about what happened at salvation, this is what is so beautiful. So when we talk about the garden, we talk about when you had this perfect union between Adam and Eve and God, and there was this fellowship, right? But then we see sin enters in, and it says that if you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. Now, I'm going to have, Miss Kalisha, I'm going to have you be the flesh, because you're in black. I'm sorry. It just had to be. And I'll have you be the spirit. Look at you.
Yes.
And of course, I'm going to have the teenager be the flesh. I mean, the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. Yeah. So when we look at this aspect of when the flesh, when we have this communion with God, it says that sin separated us from God, that there was death. So this communion with God was broken. Now, did God still love man? Yes. Did God's spirit descend upon man? Yes. Was God still speaking and he was using the prophets and he would do things? So God was still trying to have fellowship with man and lead them and through the law and through the prophets. And so there was still this heartbeat of God that was demonstrated. But as far as that union and that communion and walking in the glory and the presence and anointing of God, that was broken because sin was separating. But what is so beautiful and what is amazing about the gospel is that we have Jesus Christ. Amen. And because of Christ, because of Jesus, it says that we can receive Jesus. So Kalisha over here, Kalisha's got an amazing testimony. Mm-hmm. And Kalisha used to be rough. I'm not going to share her testimony. She used to be, she used to be rough. She didn't know the Lord. But when she got born again, man, everything changed. How many of you can say, praise Jesus, you've received Jesus? How many of you, your life completely changed? For those of you that are not born again, I want you to come down. You're going to get prayer today to receive Jesus, because this is going to be a beautiful picture of what you've been missing and what you can have. For those of you online, if you've never received Jesus, I want you to call the number and call our prayer line to receive Christ. Because when you and I receive Christ, what happens is we have this separation from God. But when we get born again, what happens? It says the Spirit of God comes to make his home within us. Now, it doesn't talk about a baby Jesus, like, oh, little boy with Jesus, right? Now, it says that the Spirit of God came to live inside of us. Hallelujah. The same Spirit, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, comes to live inside of us. The fullness of the Godhead bodily comes to live within us. The full person of Christ. So that is who he is as what? The provider. Who he is as the redeemer. Who he is as righteousness. Jehovah Makedesh. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God, our healer. So the fullness of all who God is came to live inside of you. Ah, that's just, guys, that is amazing. It says who receives the Spirit of God becomes one with him. You become one with the Father. It is not a replica of Jesus. It's not some spirit. You have Jesus Christ living within you today. Look at the person next to you. They are not simply flesh. They are filled with the Spirit of God today. If you're born again, if you've received Jesus, you have the Spirit of God. There is no limitation to the might and the kingdom of God inside of you. So when you walk into the room, guess what just walked in? Come on. Heaven just walked in. Power just walked in. Anointing just walked in. Healing life of God just walked in, right? Peace and grace walked in. Answers to problems. Wisdom just walked into the room. Now, that may not be how people see you when you walk into the room. But it's not about what they see. It's about you and I understanding who we really are. And who we are in the Spirit, the righteousness of God, the fullness of God. This is the beauty of salvation. This is the power of salvation. It's not just, praise God, Kalisha received Jesus and she's not going to hell. Hallelujah. Glory. Now struggle, girl. Good luck with life. No, when you receive Christ, now the opportunity to be light, to be salt, to be this new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Part of healing, part of this revelation, part of us having our breakthrough is realizing what is happening in the flesh. What the world says the flesh is, what the doctors have diagnosed is not the real you. This is so powerful. Your real identity is this. You are the Spirit of God. So when you open up the Word of God and you look at it, you're like, this is who I am. So if we're not the symptoms, we're not the difficulties, we're not the broken relationships, we're not the past anymore, and this is the real us, what's the problem? It's those teenage hormones in all of us. It's when... You don't know. You think you know. You think you know who you are. You think you know the past. You think you know and have said, this is who I am. And you've allowed either others or yourself to put parameters and definitions around your life. And the way you think of yourself will be the way that you act. So if we've got this fullness of God and we've got this fullness of the kingdom and this fullness of brilliance inside of us, don't get it, big head. Got this fullness of, you know, perfection inside of us. Then why do we still struggle over here? Why are we still frustrated and tempted and symptoms still? We wake up and we walk through our day with our symptoms. Why? What's the disconnect? And this is what I love about this ministry, what I love about Charis Bible College and Andrew's vision of discipleship versus just having this wham, bam, experience with God. I got saved and then I've just got to hopefully survive well enough before I die. That's not what we're called to live in. We're called to see this transformation. And so this transformation here of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says we are a new creation In Christ Jesus, all things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, do we despise our flesh? No. Because I'm telling you right now, our flesh is going to lay hands on the sick and recover. It's going to take our feet into the nations and proclaim the gospel. Our bodies are going to be the light and salt. Our mouths are going to be voices of God. We're going to bring in harvest. We're going to kick butt and take names for the kingdom of God through our body. Amen. So we're not despising our body. We're just telling our body, you're not in charge.
That's right.
And we're telling our soul man, our emotions, right? Our mindset, our thoughts, you don't get to tell me who I really am. So that's why when you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, these are key verses. You know them, but truly it has to be with how we renew our mind or be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. So you and I have to choose every day what we're going to think upon. And I'm telling you, your emotions and your flesh, your physical symptoms will try to hijack your identity. You're sick. You're broken. The trauma, the drama. Can I just tell you right now, healing is so much bigger than your physical body. Healing also happens right here. Emotions can be healed during this conference.
Amen.
What Andrew was talking about when he started off, I was like, yes, because what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do in this conference, yes, wanted me to do in my session was talk about healing, but that this part right here, the depression, the fear, the worry, the anger, the root of bitterness, the trauma, the drama, the excuses you've been giving to God why he can't be big in your life, God wants to heal this during this conference. Because for a lot of you, you believe God is mighty enough to heal your body, but you don't believe you're worthy enough to receive it. Because there's still things that you have regret in, you have shame in, you have guilt in. And so many times we don't even realize that's how we're kind of holding, God, I want your power, but I don't believe I'm worthy. And I tell you, when you were born again, spirit, soul, and body, God has power to heal everything you let him touch. Every single thing you bring to him and say, God, you're bigger than my past. You're bigger than broken marriages and broken relationships. You're bigger than shame and regret. If you guys want to, you can tell God all the reasons why you're not worthy. That's what I love about Richard's testimony. Amen? Well, these are all the reasons why, all the shame, right? If you want, you can hold up your past and say, I'm believing God, but my past is bigger than my belief. And what's amazing is because of the blood of Jesus, he washed us. He cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That's how God sees you today. When God looks at you, this is what's amazing. Okay, Sarah, can I have you stand in front of Ellie? And then Kalisha, stand behind Ellie. See, when God looks at you, this is how he sees you. He sees you as his spirit. He sees Christ in you. He doesn't see the past. Now, is the Holy Spirit given to us so he can lead us and guide us into truth and understanding? Yes. When we get emotional and weird and crazy, is the Holy Spirit there to say, that's not who you really are? Praise God, we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. But when God sees you, this is how he sees you. Amen. Amen. Now, people see you this way. And if you're not careful, that's how you will start off every day, is seeing yourself after the flesh. And that's what you have to determine, that I'm not going to see myself after the flesh. I'm going to see myself after the Spirit. I'm going to see myself after the Word. Amen. And then your body, guess what? Your body starts to be an overflow of the life of God, the healing of God, the power of God. People are calling you, hey, could you pray for me? See, this is what's so powerful, is when you get an understanding of this and this gets transformed, that this is what you see when you look and your emotions are in tandem with the Spirit of God. Your thought process is in tandem and tethered to the Word of God. Then guess what happens? Your body knows that when opportunities come to lay the hands on the sick and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead, you here don't have to think, oh, I've never done that. I've never prayed for people. I've never raised the dead. How many in here, in this room, have raised someone from the dead? Raise your hand. Andrew Womack. Okay, good. Okay. How many of you in here have been raised from the dead? Jamie Womack. Okay. Amen. Come on, that's awesome. There's like 6 or 7 people in here been raised from the dead. This is not a dead house. Hallelujah. So here's the thing. Your brain can tell you, yeah, I've got Jesus in me. Hallelujah. But I'm just a baby Christian. No, you're not a baby Christian. You might be baby in your understanding and your revelation. That's why God has called you to grow. That's why God has given us the word. That's why he's given us his spirit, the teacher who's going to lead us and guide us and bring back to our remembrance. Amen. But you don't have a baby Jesus. You have the fullness of the Godhead living with you. So when it's time to lay your hands, it's time to rebuke, it's time to cast out, it's time to destroy the works of the enemy, you've got to have the revelation that guess what? It's not that you've never done it. You have, because Jesus lives within you. That means every single person, listen to me, every single person in this room has raised someone from the dead because you have Jesus Christ living inside of you today. Come on, get a revelation, guys. You have laid your hands on the sick. You have cast out lepers. You say, no, I've never done that. Your spirit has. You've got the experience. You've got the power. The only limitation is here. Sorry. Is here. Of what you're willing to believe and see in the word of God. See, sometimes what we'll do is we'll open up our Bible. Miss Kalisha can open up her Bible and she can be like, hallelujah. Someday in the sweet by and by. One day. And what happens is she can be over here in the word of God. And I'll tell you, you can be in the word and not believe it. Because you're always seeing it as a future tense something. And I'll tell you, religion is what paints that, you know, one day when you're worthy, one day when you're holy enough, one day when you can stop drinking and smoking and swearing and yelling at somebody in your head while you smile at them. Hallelujah. Thank you. One honest person over there.
Me too.
Right? And so you look at it as this future tense versus seeing it as a mirror. And, ooh, someday, sweet Jesus, in the sweet by and by. And you're just like, yeah, yeah, someday, someday. And you have this little religious powwow with yourself that the devil's telling you, yes, you know, one day God can use you. And one day you're going to not be such a mess. And someday you'll not be so dysfunctional. One day. But I'm telling you, if you can get into the word, you get into the word and it, if you believe what it says, it shows you who you really are. And so you are able to then see this mirror of who you are in the spirit. I think this is a perfect picture right here because Ellie's my daughter and Sarah lives with us. And when Ellie doesn't want to talk to mom, she talks to Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. And if you will look at this and say, this is the real me, then your flesh is in submission. Your flesh starts to fall. You start telling your flesh, right? You say, no, symptoms, you do not have the authority. Emotions, you do not tell me who I am. Brokenness is not the collar that leads my life anymore. This is the real me. And this is what I love about the word of God, because constantly the word of God is talking about this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified in Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ that lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Come on. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. It says this, for our light affliction, which is just for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18. For we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are eternal. Man, the word of God is constantly telling you, this is the real you. And you get to choose every single day what reality you're going to identify yourself with.
Amen.
It's debt, it's dysfunction, it's relationships, or it's what does the word say? What is my promise? Because it's not a promise that, oh, one day in the sweet by and by, hopefully Jesus in the name and stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I will be healed someday. No, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. And so now you take that promise, not as just some scripture you underlined, some scripture you wove into a pillow. But now it's like, by his stripes, the healer. Because of the work on the cross, he accomplished peace. Because of who he is and what Jesus did on the cross. And because that finished work now lives within you. Come on. That finished work of the cross now lives within you. Then this is not a promise you're trying to get. It's a promise that you what? Declare. So now you can speak to the things of the flesh and say, in the name of Jesus.
Right.
You start declaring the promises, like how Richard said, with a punch. In the name of Jesus.
Yep.
Go for it, girls. Right? In the name of Jesus. I tell symptoms, you are not real. Miss Audrey Mack. I love Miss Audrey. She's my sister. And she said something at a Healing Is Here conference years ago. 2016. She says, symptoms are to sickness what temptation is to sin. That's deep. Mm-hmm. Because you can be tempted all day long. The enemy can throw temptation out. And you can either take it in, think about it, believe it, accept it, and act on it. It's just a temptation. It's when we take it and do something with it that becomes sin. So in the way, same way, symptoms are that to sickness. Symptoms come. When you get a symptom, it doesn't mean you're sick. Right. It's the enemy knocking on your flesh, mm-hmm. saying, will you believe this symptom is sickness that belongs to you?
Right. It's good.
And so you can take symptoms and be like, I don't think so. Who do you think you are coming against my body? I don't have to receive symptoms, aches and pains. See, symptoms are trying to convince you you are sick. And your symptoms try to give you the right to tell somebody else, I'm sorry, I can't be there because I don't feel well. Some of you are using sickness as an excuse not to live or serve other people. You don't want to actually get into life because you've gotten lazy in your sickness. I love you. Remember, you have to look at me after the Spirit, okay? And what happens is it's easier to say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling good today, versus the discipline of telling your body, you don't get to be in charge.
That's right.
It's the authority of you telling your emotions, depression does not dictate my day. Hormones do not dictate my day. Excuses and boundaries do not affect me. My emotions are not the horse that leads my life. Right? And you're just wildly flapping along with whatever your emotions are telling you who you are today. Right. Something happens and your emotions go crazy and, well, that's my day, I guess. No, you have the authority because of the Spirit of God inside of you. So you can tell emotions, you don't get to be in charge because this is my promise. I am healed. I am whole. I am nothing missing, lacking, or broken. There's nothing depressed. There's nothing frustrated. Come on, frustration. You know, frustration, anxiety, and worry are just other words for fear. Yeah. Frustration is just a precursor to offense. And sometimes we just let these things, and it's like what Andrew's talking about with unforgiveness. You just, well, I'm not offended. I don't have unforgiveness, but dear Lord, I'm so frustrated I could wring the neck off somebody. Same thing. Right? You just title it different. You give yourself an opportunity. Well, I have every right to be offended. I have every right to be frustrated. I have every right to be annoyed. No, you don't. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. You are now what? Crucified in Christ. And the life that you now live with all the opportunities of frustration and flesh and worry and stress, you can crucify those things because of who you are in Christ. Because what? Because he loved you and he gave himself for you. And when you know how much God loves you, guess what? You have no worry that your body is not part of his healing and loving plan. When you know how God sees you, see, this is what's so beautiful. When God sees you, he sees the Spirit. So now you've got to be able to look into the Word of God and look in the mirror in the morning and be like, yes, that is righteousness looking back. That's healing looking back. That's wisdom looking back. That's strong marriage and good parenting looking back. Amen? Some of you are like, that doesn't feel like my life. You need to start confessing what the Word says about you. Because that's part of believing. It's not believing just for the sake of like, I believe. No, I believe because of what he did. I believe because of who he is inside of me. I believe because this word is real and true, and it is the fullness of the Godhead bodily living inside of you and I today. That's part of believing, is that you look at this word and it's not for your neighbor, it's for you today.
Amen.
Thank you, ladies, for being such great examples. Thank you for being the flesh, redeemed flesh. I love you. So, you've heard me tell this story about Miss Sarah before. Because you always have an opportunity to get in the flesh. So I left work one day in the flesh, frustrated, annoyed. Mike's right behind me in the car. I get home, I start cutting up meat. Because that's what you do when you're in the flesh. You cut meat. And Mike walks in, and I'm like, am I in the flesh? And he knows exactly what I'm talking about. Am I in the flesh? Like he would dare tell me I am. And Sarah, sweet little spirit over here, she's in the laundry room, and I hear her say, if you have to ask, you probably are. I started laughing, and I looked at her and said, oh, shut up. Mike and I just started laughing. You know, here's the thing. You and I have an opportunity all day long. And what we decide to set our minds on. You're going to have all kinds of opportunity, all kinds of sentences that are declared towards you. Oh, it's your age. It's your DNA. It's your past, your background. And then you got the enemy telling, you know, you opened up a door to this. This is all, you know, consequences of the sin. Can I just tell you, God can heal consequences of the past. And some of you have received things into your body because they were things that you started into, your body got involved with, whether it was drugs or alcohol or premarital sex or whatever it was. You had such a background and it ignited things within your body. And then you get saved, and you've let those sicknesses stay because you feel like it's a consequence of the past. Can I tell you, when he healed your past, he healed all your past. Yeah. So that means everything that you've been letting kind of be like, well, you know, it's because of my past and because I did something stupid. See, sometimes what we do is we let stupid be an authoritative voice in our life. Like, well, I just did it because I was stupid, and because I was stupid, I kind of deserve it. No, what you deserved was nothing except for what God has given you, and now you have grace. And now, because of grace, you deserve all of the blessings of God. You deserve all the fullness of God. You deserve all the blessings of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And so we talk about, well, who am I in the Spirit? Because if you're going to take the Word of God and you're going to open up this Word, you're going to have to start telling. And can I just tell you, you're going to have to preach to yourself. I encourage you, you need to listen to Andrew. You need to listen to all these amazing speakers that are going to be speaking. You need to get the material. Can I encourage you guys to get the bundles of stuff? Because there's going to be things that God is speaking to you over this next couple days. Bill Johnson's going to be coming. He's going to be ministering. You guys are going to be getting some powerful nuggets of truth. And in the moment, you're just trying to receive it. And maybe you're not even writing it down. Guess what? When you get back on the road and you get back into everyday life, you're going to feel, what was it? It was amazing. It changed my life forever. But I can't remember what they said. Can I encourage you? You need to get the resources. You need to watch GTNTV.com. Amen. How many of you watch GTN? For those of you who don't, I'm just telling you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're going to be teaching the gospel with testimonies of people who are believing the gospel and seeing it at work. So I'm going to encourage you guys, please check that out. That's the new network Andrew started just this last year. But what happens is you need to listen to the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. But I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to preach to yourself. And part of you preaching to yourself is you got to get into the Word of God, and you're going to have to choose to believe, I'm going to believe what this says. So here in Ephesians chapter 1, when we talk about who you are in the Spirit today, it says, Blessed be the God. I'm reading out of the ESV because it's what I have right here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, chapter 1 of Ephesians. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So if we still had Sarah up here, right, being a pitcher. Blessed are you because you've been what? Blessed in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing. God does not hold any of the spiritual blessings back from you. See, a lot of times religion will tell you that the people around you have more of God and more opportunity with God than you do. Well, obviously, Andrew got the super deluxe package. He got like Biggie size. You just got like the kids' meal. You got the Happy Meal version. That's not how it works. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Then it goes on to say, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. There's no second or third cousins in the household of God. When it talks about he sent his son into our spirits, crying out, Abba, Father. There's adoption. You were chosen by God. So that means all of those blessings belong to you, not someone else, because that's what religion will tell you, is that you're good, God loves you, but there's some other people that, God really loves them. God's really moving in them. God's really pleased with them. Look at the favor on their life. Look at the anointing and gifts. I mean, they got the full gift package. And that's what religion will tell you. And that for you to get to that level, you got to earn it. You got to keep it. You got to maintain it. You got to strive for it. That's not what grace is. That's not what the gospel is. Amen. And if we're going to come up here thinking we've got to earn somehow our healing, then we're still believing the lie. We're coming up here and we're celebrating our healing. We're coming up here and saying, I'm receiving it today. I'm standing up today. I'm laying hands. I'm having people lay hands on me today because what? I've received it today. Because you have been adopted. The fullness of His Spirit lives within you. Every spiritual blessing. That means no aches, no pains, no medications, no diseases and diagnoses. You should get excited about that. I was actually sitting here during worship thinking of all the healing conferences I've been at. And when Andrew was praying for people, I was thinking, what are all the things I've prayed for at Healing Is Here conferences that I've gotten healed of? It was like the Lord's like, and I was like, yeah. I'd had something weird going on with a leg for like ever. Crazy, weird pain in the legs, just walking and like it would give out on me. People would tell me it's my high heels, and I'm like, uh-uh. Don't talk about my high heels. I'll be 90 years old in these babies, okay? No. This is not my high heels. And I was thinking, yeah, man. I couldn't even tell you when it was healed, but it was healed. I remember there was a couple years, and it kept trying to come back. I had torn a rotator cuff. In the middle of a production, we were doing a production in between scenes, I grabbed a couch and I was moving a couch out. And the next day I couldn't raise my arm. Mike had to dress me in the morning and I had to teach 4 hours that day. And so while I was teaching, I just say, guys, I'm being healed. So, and I just kept preaching and I kept moving my arm and I kept raising my arm as I was preaching. And within that day, I had a couple students say, can we pray for you? I was like, absolutely. By the end of the day, I was healed. But then a year later, man, pain started. I was like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I did it. I tore that rotator cuff. See, here's how the devil works. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's probably why it's hurting. I didn't rebuke it right away because it was something that happened before. So a symptom came, and that's probably what. It got to a point I could barely raise my arm. I could barely sleep on that arm. I would be sitting there, and I'd be rubbing it all the time. Just recently, I had something happen in my neck that in the middle of live streams, we would be teaching with Andrew, and then when the camera was on him, Mike was leaning over and squeezing the knot in my neck just to release my arm. God's healed me of all of it, every single one of them. And I am not old. Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes it's the little thing. You know what? You can live without being creaky, walking this life creaky all the time. Oh, my hips, oh, my bones, oh, my, right? I remember when I was a kid, it was actually, I hadn't gone on the mission field, I hadn't come to Caris Bible College yet, and my middle finger here started to swell up, my knuckle started to swell up really bad. And I thought maybe I jammed it or I broke it, and it just was not going down. And so we went to the doctor, because it was hurting, and it was affecting how I worked, and you know, Mom was not going to have us not work. Well, let's figure out what's going on with your hand. So went in and the doctor said I had arthritis starting. I was 16 years old. And that finger was so sore. And it was swelling up and it started to bulge. And then other fingers and my fingers would start to get really sore. And I was like, I'm not going to be a missionary with arthritis. That is not who God called me to be. And so the doctor really just said, you know, there's really nothing we can do for you. I mean, you just, some kids will get arthritis young. So and I just walked out of there and I was like, I don't think so. And praise God, I'd had good teaching growing up. I had a good church. Pastor Lawson was always like running across the front lines like, kick the devil, right? Amen. So I just started praying. Man, I would grab that finger every day and I would press on it and it would hurt. And I'll be like, you are healed in the name of Jesus. I rebuke arthritis. I do not have arthritis. It's cracked. I do not have arthritis in my hands. I will not be on the mission field with arthritis. In fact, I don't just not have arthritis now. I will never, not when I'm 60, not when I'm 70, not when I'm 80, not when I'm 90, I'll still be picking up bags and carrying suitcases at 90 years old, taking the gospel to the nations. And man, I started declaring that I did not have arthritis. And you know, it stopped. The swelling went down, the pain went away, all my fingers, the achiness went away. It was gone. And I was like, amen. And then when I got on the mission field, man, it started to hurt again. So I had to do the same. No, I do not have arthritis. Excuse me, did you try to come back after I kicked you out? After I put up a no arthritis, no vacancy sign on my house, devil? I'm telling you, when you know the promises, this whole aspect of spirit, soul, and body, when you understand who you are in the spirit, when you understand that that's your identity, that's how God sees you, that's the real you, that's when you start speaking with the authority. No, this is not the real me. I rebuke depression. I rebuke unforgiveness. I rebuke symptoms and signs. Amen.
Amen.
Because here's what's amazing. Is when the devil sees you, he sees the spirit. He sees you healed. He sees you whole. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ on you. He sees that when you walk into the room, he's like, oh my gosh. Right? My son Michael, his friend, we were having a barbecue volleyball night the other night, and I looked at the back of his shirt, and I think I'll get this right. It said, I want there to be a celebration that when I die, hell says, finally, they're out of the fight. So that's why I'm going to live a long life, because I want to torment the devil as long as I possibly can. And then I'm going to raise up 1,000 generations behind me. That is the covenant you and I have been given. And when he sees you, he sees healing. When he sees you, he sees authority, might, and power, and ability. He sees the finished work of the cross. When he looks at you, he sees Jesus looking back. But he also knows that his only power is deception and distraction. So if he can distract you in the flesh, if he can distract you with things of this world, if he can lie to you and get you to believe that you are always going to be broken, you're always going to be bruised, you're always going to be dysfunctional, and you're always going to be in pain, if he can get you to believe that, then it doesn't matter if he sees Jesus. He just knows you don't. And so that's why, not just this conference, guys, it's that we continue to be in an environment, we continue to be in the Word, we continue to have teachers that point us to what? Who we are in the Spirit, that tell us the distractions and the symptoms is not the real us, it has no authority, and we can start to use our authority to rebuke, cast down, destroy. Because like Richard said, healing is not the ultimate goal in this room today. It's that you go out as healers. It's that you go out as witnesses. It's that you go out and every single member of your family is healed and whole. This is big, guys, I'm telling you right now, this is bigger than you. And the devil knows it. You can lay, man, you could speak healing over everything. Anything you bring to Jesus can be healed. Why? Because it has already been healed. But it's you coming to say, Lord, I'm handing all of, again, all my excuses, all my frustrations, all my offenses, all my symptoms, all the definitions that other people have declared about my life, I bring them to you. You may think this is weird, and I don't care. But my brother and sister were up here the other day, and they were having problems with their car, and I was like, hey, on my way out, I'll lay hands on your car. They're like, thank you. And I was like, you're welcome. Guess what? They drove down the mountain, no car problems. They're like, thanks for healing our car. And I'm like, you're welcome. Come on, guys. Everything you touch, you can release the power of God into. Everything. Your faith can move mountains. You look at these stories of great missionaries doing great things. It's simply because they believed Christ in them. See, when you know who your God is, and you know that God lives within you, and you start to realize, look at that. Okay, just to let you know, this is not some supernatural act. This is In God We Trust production coming down. Just in case somebody got weird about that, like, ooh. When you know who God is inside of you, so that you know that because of Christ in you, when Christ looks at you, he says, with me, all things are possible. Amen. Through Christ, all things are possible. Not Christ, we're trying to get Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you know that's what lives with inside of you, then when you look at you, you see him. I'll say right now, this whole aspect of what we think upon, what we decide to focus on, what we decide to believe is the real us, that's the spiritual warfare you walk in every single day. Are you going to believe? No, this is what the Bible says I am. I'm standing on it. Or I believe what my body tells me. I believe what my employer tells me. I believe what my family tells me. And I've shared this before, but I want to just close with this. I'm in Russia, and I'm trying to walk in faith. And there are some days that the fridge was full, and there are some days that there was no food in the fridge. I was counting out change for the bus ride. I would count out change and still be short a couple rubles and believe God that when I walked to the bus stand, I would find a couple rubles in the bus stand to make sure that I had enough to get to Bible school. So there were days it was like, yay, Spirit of God, I'm mighty, I'm filled. And other days I'm like, oh, Jesus, hallelujah. I remember being in those moments of like a great faith and just like, why am I here? And throughout the day, I was going back and forth. No, God, you're going to provide. No, you're going to be, you know, you're the provider. I'm here for you. It's your will, your bill. And, I got rent. I have no food. I have to pay translators tomorrow. And I was going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Luckily, I landed at my apartment in faith. Walk through the door, hallelujah, even if it's like my last night in this apartment, woohoo! And I called my dad, and we're talking, and we talked for like 30 minutes. I was living in Murmansk. It was 150 miles north of the Arctic Circle. And I was living in Murmansk, and we're talking, and at the very end, he goes, oh, yeah, by the way, your mom put in $1,500 in your bank account 3 days ago. And I was like, God, that's awesome. Because I'm not going to tell my dad I have no food, I have no money, and I'm about to not be able to pay rent. You just don't tell your dad those things. I was like, yes, awesome. And I hung up, and God says, Carrie, I had already made the provision. I'm telling you right now, God's already made your provision. And you may feel like, but I feel discouraged because some days I feel like, yay, hallelujah, I'm here at Andrew Womack's, I'm here on this campus, I'm here in faith and worship and like believers and rah, rah, yay, amen. But when I go back to my hotel room, when I go back to my house, even maybe you're hearing one thing and you're like, yeah, that's good for Andrew, but what about this? And you can even feel like while you're sitting there, it feels like you're in the flesh and in the spirit, and in the flesh and in the spirit. And I was telling the Lord that one day, and I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm so dysfunctional and immature. Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that like I'm in faith and then I'm in the flesh, and I'm in faith and in the flesh. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me, Lord. And the Lord said, Carrie, every single time you turn from the flesh to the spirit, you had victory. And I'm telling you right now, if you have to keep, and your body tries to, you know, that pain, and then you have to stop, and you have to turn to the spirit, and you walk two steps, and it's like, oh, it hurts again, and you have to turn to the spirit, every single time you do, and you confess your healing, that's your victory today. Amen? So, you're going to hear some amazing messages in the rest of this conference, and I'm going to encourage you, be it as many sessions as you possibly can. God brought you here. I'll tell you, there's times, sometimes I've seen people come to a conference and then symptoms try to tell them, and then they stay in their hotel room the whole conference. Yeah. God brought you here. So take a step of faith. Amen. But while you're here, I'm just telling you that all the other teachers, they're going to be saying some amazing things. They're going to say, you've already got it. You're already healed. It's already been done. It's your new identity. What they're talking about is what we showed you here today, that the Spirit of God lives within you. And you can choose to believe those truths and look at the Spirit and say, that is the real me. All right, we're going to close in prayer. So, Father, I thank you right now. I thank you for every single person in this room, that your Spirit lives within us. Not a baby Jesus, but the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God, the healer, living within each and every person today. How about you stand? Because you don't have a little weak Jesus inside of you. You got a big standing king. You got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords living inside of you. So, Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that we're setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. And Lord, there's all kinds of opportunity to let flesh and to let symptoms tell us these things. But right now, we tell the flesh, you are not in charge. You are not the boss. And it's not the real me. Amen? The real you. That's who you are. It's the Spirit of God inside of you today. So, Father, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We just tell symptoms, we do not receive you as the authority within our life. We thank you, Lord, that every broken heart, everything of the past, all offense and frustrations, all emotional depression, mental illness right now, these things, not just our physical bodies, our emotions are healed right now in the name of Jesus. If there's been something you've been going through in the emotion realm, there's this mental disorder, there's things you've been diagnosed, bipolar, there's been anxiety disorder. All these disorders have been labeled over your life. Raise your hands. All right. God came to heal our brains. God came to heal our emotions. Every part of our soulish realm, that was covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen? So, Father, right now, we pray for every mental illness in this room, every chemical imbalance the world has said that we have, we will always have, any bipolar worry, anxiety, ADHD, all these acronyms, all these labels right now over our brains, we say no in the name of Jesus. And we curse these things and say they cannot tell us who we are. They cannot steal our attention, our focus, our identity, or our emotions of who we are in the Spirit right now. So we just declare healing over brains, hearts, and minds, not just in this room, but online. We say these things are healed and whole. And Lord, I thank you right now. Our bodies, man, they bow to the Spirit of God. They bow to who we really are in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. We just have a couple announcements.